The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever. Not a close second. And I've known him for years. The Brzezinskis have known him for 50 years. If it weren't the truth, I wouldn't say it. In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been.
President Biden has a photographic memory. His understanding and mastery of a complicated geopolitical situation is remarkable.
He is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
I was sitting, you know, of 2 feet from him across the table, and he was, you know, intense.
Have trouble walking sometimes? Yeah, so did FDR. He wanted GD war.
But he's totally focused. He's very sharp.
They say he's sharp in meetings and so on.
Very lucid, very well informed. Biden is stately, and he comes with gravitas. There hasn't been, as far as I know, a single claim that Biden made a mistake.
Ageism is an issue. Americans have a rich history of holding people's physical characteristics against them. Okay, you can ask African Americans.
He's older. That doesn't mean that he is unfit, and there's a lot of ageism there.
Now, this age attack, this obsession by the right.
Joe Biden may not be able to speak for himself the way that he used to. I think people should be speaking up for Joe Biden.
Americans and reporters in the media are just judging him by a physical appearance, and it's horribly unfair. Age is an asset.
He showed exactly how with it he is.
The flip side of this coin is that he has a tremendous amount of wisdom and experience.
Have you heard any concerns from anyone who has met with President Biden about him seeming a little slower?
No.
More wild speculation from a bunch of people who have probably never been in a room with Joe Biden and certainly don't have medical degrees that I'm aware of.
You don't get paid for performance to be president. You don't. The job is not a job of endurance. I don't see Donald Trump out bike riding like Joe Biden.
It's the Hillary's email. All they have is that he's old.
He can clear a dementia bar, and that's probably a win.
The media are not fair, and they're getting less and less fair, and things are frightening. Wall Street Journal running a horribly sourced piece saying that Biden is unfit.
Dubious Wall Street Journal report about the president's acuity.
Shoddy story by the Wall Street Journal questioning Biden's mental fitness.
Wall Street Journal story had a lot of flaws, as you said. But Sinclair, they didn't do any original reporting. They didn't follow up. They didn't do any work.
But a huge part of the Mueller report talks about Russian disinformation tactics. And one of the themes this election cycle is that Joe Biden is too old to lead. And so everyone is seizing upon this. And it is a classic disinformation tactic. And I think the best thing that we can do is to prepare the American people for this false narrative.
If you remember on this show, just a couple of weeks ago, I said, I can't believe they're actually going with this narrative that Joe Biden is better than he's ever been. He's at the top of his game, as Joe Scarborough said there. And it was worse, actually. They said Joe Biden's better than ever, and Donald Trump is the one who's senile. And then last night's debate happened, and Joe Biden had to speak for himself. Donald Trump couldn't even interrupt him. So in some cases, it was 2 straight minutes of speaking for himself and without the aid or the assistance of a teleprompter. And of course, what all of America, really all of the world saw, was a complete and total unmitigated disaster. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this show, the last show of the work week. Hard to believe Friday is upon us. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com and also at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. So much to get to on today's show. We have so many clips. We have lots of content. I'll do my best to hurry, but I'm not Ben Shapiro. I can't talk at 1,000 words per minute. I'll go quick, as quick as possible, though. So last night, I mean, there were so many things to take away from this really sad spectacle. To see Joe Biden from the outset, we'll show you the clips here in just a second, to come out shuffling, to come out mumbling, stuttering, whatever you want to call it. So sad to see. Elder abuse, as we've said for so many years. And it also just exposed the media. I mean, if you watched any of the after coverage, I thought, well, 2 seconds ago, you said what we just showed you there in the monologue or the cold open. And now all of them have gang tackled Joe Biden. Now all of them want Joe Biden to step aside. Now all of them want, they're saying that Joe Biden's not fit to run. Think about this for a moment. I'm getting a little ahead of myself already, but he's not fit to be tried because he would be seen in a courtroom as old and senile. Okay, now he's not fit to run for re-election because, well, he's old and senile. But evidently he's fit to run the United States of America for at least another 7 months. How in the world does that make sense? I mean, that's a foreign policy crisis. I mean, it's a domestic policy crisis as well. And only a few people are even talking about that angle. How dangerous this is for the United States of America. This period, you talk about bitter affliction. Or another translation of that verse in 2 Kings 14, immeasurable misery. What will happen in the next 7 months? Forget about politics for a moment. Set that aside. Of course, 99% of them were just thinking it in a purely political sense last night, even as they dumped on Joe Biden. This is the United States of America. This is not the leader of some third world country. This is not the leader of Switzerland. Nope. No, I mean, we're not trying to offend any nation. But this is the leader of the free world. And yet at the same time, doesn't it absolutely? I was watching last night. I was watching the coverage after the fact. And I was thinking, what a powerful stamp of approval God has put upon America under attack. You think about the Antiochus that comes in through what? Flatteries and deceit. Deceit. And last night, everything was laid bare. Among other things, you learned that obviously Joe Biden is not running the country. He's not running America. And of course, all the commentators that now see that, they stop just short of the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama. A few of them, some of the sharper ones last night, finally did ask, who is running the country? It can't be this. Who is running the country? Here they went in. And think about Donald Trump accepting these terms, by the way. Steve Bannon was talking this morning about how that he did it for the country. I mean, he went in, they said, hey, we're going to cut mics. You can't interrupt. There's no studio audience. The parameters are carefully set. We're going to have commercial interruptions. And Donald Trump, to his credit, I mean, there was really nothing he could gain from this politically. And yet he ended up gaining from it. There was nothing he could gain from it. And I'm sure a lot of his handlers said, don't do it. Why bother? You're already leading in the polls. And yet Donald Trump did it. And he stood there, as a statesman, speaking for the country. They got into it here and there. But for the most part, it was a powerful presentation from the former president and a total breakdown from the current president, who was installed by the dear leader. He's the perfect puppet. But now the world sees. It's not just Americans that see this. America's enemies see it. Putin sees it. Xi sees it. The mullahs in Iran see it. Hezbollah sees it. Hezbollah's poised and ready to attack Israel from the north. They see it. Hamas sees it. And you know who else sees it? America's allies. What are they thinking? What are they thinking in Taiwan? What are they thinking in Israel? What can they be thinking in European nations? Biden coming into the debate, I mean, for his part, just again, if you want to switch back to the political ramifications of this, he came in and every poll was showing Donald Trump running away with it. So there was a lot riding on this debate if you're the fake president. The Washington Post just a couple days ago said that Trump was leading in every swing state by I think it was a 7 or 8 point margin. 7 or 8 points in the states where the race is usually the closest. This was the favorability rating coming in, as reported by CNN. Look at clip two.
It is advantage Trump, and here's the biggest reason right now. It is simply very difficult, many would argue impossible, for an incumbent to win re-election when only 38% of the country, that's a lot of Democrats and independents saying they disapprove of your job as president, is 38% approval rating for the president right now, Anderson, as he walks onto that debate stage in less than an hour. And he's also in the 30s, mid to high 30s in some of these battleground states. That is an untenable position for an incumbent. I know it seems early, but it's getting late to change that. And he has to change that if he wants to win.
That's John King reporting on these dreadful poll numbers before the debate. And then it was John King right after on CNN, right after the debate was over. Within minutes, it was John King who threw Biden under the bus. And then everyone else on the panel, 9 people on the panel this time, a new record for the size of panels. 9 people on CNN, and right down the line, they said, yeah, that was a disaster. That was a total disaster. What we saw from the very start. Let's take you back, by the way, to the very start. This was a tiny little detail picked up by our producer, clip 3.
States, Joe Biden.
Folks, how are you? Great to be here. Thank you.
And please welcome the 45th President of the United States, Donald Trump. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being here.
Here they come in, and I don't want to read too much into it, but how telling it is when you see Biden shuffle in, he walks up to the podium, and the lights are off. He steps into total darkness, or at least mostly darkness, there for a second or two. And then, of course, Donald Trump walks to the stage. Many people were wondering, are they going to shake hands? They didn't. They didn't last time because of COVID, you know. You've got to stay away from each other. Now they're steering clear, I guess, because it's just such a bitter rivalry. In any event, he steps into darkness. And metaphorically speaking, that's about what it was like for him the rest of the night for another 90 minutes. Total darkness. Darkness set in on the Democrat Party. Darkness set in on the Obama regime as they were panicking. That was the word for the night. Total panic. They don't know what to do other than to say he should step aside and we need to get someone else in there. But who should we get? Do we have enough time? Can we pull this off at the convention? I'll come into the ins and outs of that here in just a second. But just to close the loop on the debate performance. This, I believe, was 11 or 12 minutes in. They're talking here about the deficit, how to rein that in, and how to fix America's financial woes. This is clip 4.
What I'm going to do is fix the tax system. For example, we have 1,000 trillionaires in America, billionaires in America. And what's happening? They're in a situation where they, in fact, pay 8.2% in taxes. If they just paid 24%, 25%, either one of those numbers, they'd raise $500 billion, I should say, in a 10-year period. We'd be able to wipe out his debt. We'd be able to help make sure that all those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden.
And so there's Jake Tapper trying to rescue him. You know, what's interesting there, just looking at the video, is President Trump hardly looked at his opponent the whole night. He just looked at the camera and basically said, these are the problems we're facing. This is how I intend to fix it. In this case, when he has the senior moment, when he freezes there at the end of his explanation, Trump's looking over at him a couple times. You know what's going through his mind. And you know what's going through the minds of ordinary Americans. This is a little over 10 minutes in, and already Democrats are in full-scale panic mode. You know, last week we played this clip of Biden from 2020, you know, the clip from the debate with Trump where he lied about the Hunter laptop and said, well, we've got 51 former intel agents, and they all agree that this is Russian disinformation. A total lie. And, of course, you're not going to get moderators to hold him to account for that. But my wife made a comment after she saw that saying, wow, even in 4 years, you can see how sharp the decline has been cognitively for the fake president in just 4 years' time. That was what was so appalling about the post-debate coverage as I sat there thinking, well, for more than four years, you've had a few sharp commentators that have said he's not mentally fit for this. And then last night, all as if, what was it, June 27th? On June 27th, they collectively agreed with what some of their critics have been saying for years, certainly for the last few months. You heard the cold open. Even as he's stumbling around at the G7, even as Barack Obama's leading him off the stage by the hand, Jill had to do that last night. And these talking heads representing the regime, until Barack Obama pulls the plug, they were all in on Joe Biden is better than he's ever been. And then that changed in abruptly, 180 degrees. In a matter of minutes. Now, think about it's interesting he brings up elder care there. We've got to improve the economy to improve elder care. Think about who he's surrounded by. His wife, above all, she knows. She knows. And then the last 7 days he's at Camp David, he's got 16 advisors. The dear leader himself was campaigning with him just 12 days ago, saying we need to pour more money into the coffers for Biden so he can get reelected. That was less than 2 weeks ago. There was a lot riding on this debate, as I say. And just sitting there and watching this play out, as Sam and I were talking yesterday, either this, because of all of the tight parameters that CNN has put upon this, it's going to be either the most boring debate in the world, or it could be an epic debate in more ways than one. I think it was more of the latter. But as I sat there again, I was thinking, this is America under attack. I mean, right from the beginning, you read about, as I've said before, the dear leader, but also how the media, you see, they swoon. They swoon. There have been some commentators that have said, I've never seen everyone in the corporate media just go with the same exact talking point all at once. Well, actually, that's not true. You see it all the time. I guess what's a little more unusual is to see the regime media throw one of their own. In fact, the sitting president, albeit a fake president, but they throw the Democrat president under the bus all at once. What happened? That lead of the cold open, I mean, that was Joe Scarborough from just a couple weeks ago. He's known him for years. His wife's family's known him for 50 years. There's never been a better version of Joe Biden. And he's saying that because he's speaking the truth. And he wouldn't say it if it wasn't the truth. What is he saying now? Well, you watch him on Morning Joe or Morning Meltdown today. It's like he's at a funeral. He leads it off by saying, look, I love Joe Biden. I love him. I love him, but, you know, he might need to do what's best for the party. What? All that they had on Trump last night was the litany of lies. Lie, 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 lie. What about your big lie? 2 seconds ago, you said he was the best he's ever been. They're not going to be held to account for those lies. And they're not going to expose the lies that Joe Biden told last night. This one exchange where he actually, I think, inadvertently referred to an immigrant rape case, which, of course, left the door wide open for Donald Trump to bring up the immigration crisis even before the moderators did. But listen to this, clip 5.
Look, there's so many young women who have been, including a young woman who just was murdered, and he went to the funeral. The idea that she was murdered by an immigrant coming in, they talk about that. But here's the deal. There's a lot of young women who are being raped by their in-laws, by their spouses, brothers and sisters, it's just ridiculous. And they can do nothing about it. And they try to arrest them when they cross state lines.
Thank you.
There's Dana Bash trying to rescue him yet again. There's a lot of young women raped by their in-laws and their brothers and their sisters, he said. Just totally incoherent. And finally, you had members of the regime acknowledge that, even on the radical left side of things. This last one, this is really the, I think, again, to his credit, Donald Trump exercised quite a lot of restraint. Here again, you think of CNN, they're going in, hey, we've got to, the Biden people insist, you've got to turn off the mics, he interrupted me a lot last time. And Donald Trump said, all right, fine. And so there was Trump for the most of the evening, just standing there alongside Biden, quietly, as Biden hung himself. This was the only time where Trump pointed out that, look, this is incoherent, what we're hearing here. This is clip 6.
What I've done since I've changed the law, what's happened? I've changed it in a way that now you're in a situation where there are 40% fewer people coming across the border illegally. That's better than when he left office. And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
It's very sad to see, as I say. And really, it's not even worth dwelling on that long, except that for 4 or 5 years, the regime media that swoons before the dear leader have said what you heard there in the cold open. They're part of the attack on America. As I say, what unfolded last night? I mean, what powerful backing that is for the contents in America Under Attack. This book that's been around since 2013, expanding over the years as the attack has intensified. But again, the Antiochus comes in, the book of Daniel reveals this. He comes in through flatteries and deceit. It's one big lie. That's what was on display last night. A big lie. Who is running the country? That's what some, not all of them, but that's what some were asking. So we'll leave it at that with respect to the fake president's performance. Fast forward now a bit. You get to the end of 90 minutes. If anything, Biden showed a little bit of improvement toward the end. But I think after 11 or 12 minutes, everyone in America would have concluded this is a train wreck. What we're watching here, it couldn't have been a more disastrous start. So you get to the end, CNN's hosting the debate. And as I say, John King, the one that was talking about the poll numbers before the debate, he's there on the panel of 9 to lead the way in throwing Biden right under the bus. This is clip 9.
Right now, as we speak, there is a deep, a wide, and a very aggressive panic in the Democratic Party. And they're having conversations about the president's performance, which they think was dismal, which they think will hurt other people down the party in the ticket. And they're having conversations about what they should do about it. So what do we do about this? And it involves very senior people in the Democratic Party, including elected officials, saying we have a problem.
The panic that I am hearing from Democrats is not like anything that I have heard. As Biden's answers were, in a lot of cases, not coherent.
There are going to be discussion about whether he should
continue. It was an unmitigated disaster for President Biden from the second he walked out to the closing statement.
Look, there is no two ways about it. That was not a good debate for Joe Biden.
That was painful. He didn't do well at all. He did not do well at all. I think there's a lot of people who are going to want to see him consider taking a different course now. We're still far from our convention, and there is time for this party to figure out a different way forward if he will allow us to do that.
So there has to be a conversation with the president after tonight, right? Some of those conversations will be from people who say, sir, you should step aside.
It is a fair question to ask right now. What is going on inside the White House every day?
The entire room was just completely silent and in shock, and that this member's own reaction was that he wanted to jump off of a bridge.
Well, that's kind of a DEFCON one moment.
The universal reaction was somewhere approaching panic. Joe Biden's job was to reassure them tonight. His job was to calm his party. He did not do that. He did the opposite of that. He made them more panicked. Mm-hmm. The people who were texting me were even more panicked. I won't say a full-fledged panic, but it's getting there.
One of the things was, would either candidate look like the caricature that the other campaign has been trying to paint of him? And at the end of the day, Joe Biden looks like the caricature that conservative media has been painting. And there were no clips tonight, right? This was, you saw it before your eyes. There's a full-on panic about this performance. Not like, oh, this is recoverable. It is more of a, okay, he's got to step aside. There's a lot of that chatter.
Close to 6 days of preparation at Camp David.
More than that.
And they know the rules.
It was more than a week.
Okay, more than a week. They know the rules. He practices with the mics. He knows every one of these questions is coming. And yet he couldn't fill the time.
Now I think the question answers itself. He wasn't capable of doing any better than he did.
You know, just as an aside here, this montage shows you how comfortable these people are with lying. You mean to tell me that it wasn't until June 27th that they all collectively realized that it's time to hit the panic button and to get Biden out of office? They have been lying repeatedly and bold, audacious lies. This is the best version of Biden ever. It was just a few weeks ago. Now they all say this. Only one of them, as you heard there, one of the guys on the CNN panel, said, I think this begs the question, what is going on inside the White House? I think even Anderson Cooper asked Kamala, you know, is this the Biden you see and work with every day? And she kind of danced around the question a little bit. And by the way, why did they rush Kamala Harris out to give an interview at CNN and then she switched over to MSNBC? For 3.5 years, she's almost been a disappearing act. She's the so-called czar of the border. She doesn't even go down there. Nobody sees her there. Nobody wants her out front because she's more unpopular than Joe Biden. Now here she comes forward. Is she coming to the rescue? I think the Dear Leaders Party is in between a rock and a hard place here. We'll see what happens. You've got this Axios story that came out, I think, just 2 days ago, basically saying how much Michelle Obama hates the Bidens. It's a pretty sharp dispute or divorce, some would say, between the Bidens and the Obamas now. What is going on? You know, there's a prophecy in Amos 7 that says that it doesn't even mention, it mentions Jeroboam. It mentions the resurgence. It mentions that he has the support of the kingdom's court. And by the way, the kingdom's court came down with some very important rulings today supporting Donald Trump. But in that prophecy, Amos 7, Antiochus isn't mentioned. I mean, his devastation is alluded to in the first few verses. The trail of destruction that he's caused. But at some point, God just moves him out of the way. He removes the Antiochus influence. And he clears the way for Jeroboam. Is that happening as we speak? Well, we'll see what happens. I'm sure there will be twists and turns between now and the Democrat convention. But just, again, sorry to bounce back and forth so much, but to leave politics aside for a moment, this is the president. He's fake, yes. But this is the president that will be occupying the Oval Office in the White House at the capital of the United States of America for the next 7 months. It says here, this is Andy McCarthy. This was a terrible night for the country. And Trump aside, no matter what the Dems do, Biden is president of the United States for the next 7 months. Every enemy of the United States knows that perilous time. That's what he tweeted, I guess, last evening. But you go back to this debate and what was on full display for all the world to see, it was basically advertising the national security threat that the United States is under at the moment. Here again, if Biden can't be charged for crimes because he's senile, and now if he can't run for re-election because he's senile, how can he run the country for the next 7 months? And then, if the Democrats invoke the 25th Amendment, that means Kamala Harris is president for the next 7 months. All of these wild scenarios highlight the bitter affliction or the immeasurable miseries that are currently setting in in the United States of America. Liz Harrington writes at War Room, she says, something was up when the Democrat candidate, who last time they barely let leave the basement, agreed to a live CNN debate in June. And even that, the circumstances of that, Biden's the one that put out the challenge. I'll debate you anywhere. Just like he did last night with his golf swing, of all things. I can outdrive you. And Trump's just there shaking his head. What? Trump should have accepted that challenge. That's what Trump did immediately when Biden said, I'll debate you. He said, okay, anytime, any place. And as it happens, he let CNN draw up the ground rules. He accepted everything. He didn't even push back on one thing. And look at what happened. There are spiritual forces at work here from both angles. And God, for 6,000 years, he's kept a hands-off policy for the most part, but he does intervene where necessary to see his sure word of prophecy fulfilled. The devil is in a flat-out rage at the moment, just stirring up so much hatred. And for one moment, though, you had Democrats leaving their Trump derangement syndrome, except for the long list of lies, 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 to actually focus on the fact that I don't think that we can continue with this lie anymore. I don't think we can conceal this fraud, this deceit anymore. They were exposed last night. As I say, they're part of the attack. They swoon before the dear leader. You know, Ben Rhodes, he's attached at the hip with the dear leader. He tweeted out that, look, we can't pretend that this isn't a problem. How are young people viewing this? How are world leaders viewing this? That's Ben Rhodes. He wouldn't be tweeting that if the dear leader hadn't pulled the plug on Joe Biden. Liz Harrington says here, nothing about Biden has changed since 2020. He wasn't cognitively fit then, and he certainly isn't now. All that changed were the talking points and the marching orders. A media that has been propping up a husk for 4 years suddenly let go. See, in a lot of ways, we knew this 4 years ago, but for the dear leader, Biden was the perfect puppet because the dear leader could totally control him. But now it's so obvious. Now you have this embarrassment, this shameful embarrassment that plays out in front of everyone. Like I say, Trump's not interrupting. He has no teleprompter. He's just speaking. And you know, even as this goes on, or before this goes on, I think one of Trump's talking points every time he goes to a political rally is that this opponent can't put together two coherent sentences. So you want to talk about all of Trump's lies? How about where he's gotten it right? Where he's exactly right. He agrees to the debate. He agrees to an early debate. He agrees to the parameters that CNN sets. And he just lets his opponent talk. And there you go. Can't hide it. It was an occasion where the inner circle could not, his wife couldn't hide it. The 16 advisors at Camp David couldn't hide it. Biden has been tripping up Air Force One for 3 years now, but suddenly now Biden is unfit. If all the liars and frauds and the fake news are being sincere, why aren't they calling for his resignation immediately? If you can't run for president, you can't be president. And then maybe they could ask, who has been running the country all this time? You see how everything in this regime, the regime media, it's all politically motivated. It's all about just getting the guy installed that needs to be there. You can't have Trump there. They don't care about the fate of the country. They don't care about a foreign policy crisis. They don't care about what could happen to America over the next 7 months. They despise America, at least its foundational principles and laws, its traditions. They despise democracy. Look at the dear leader for a moment. Just go back and in 2016, he's coming off of his second term. Joe Biden, that's right, the same Joe Biden, he was his vice president. And yet the dear leader threw him under the bus then and said, you know what, we're going to anoint Hillary Clinton. And then Hillary went through the primaries and Bernie Sanders was making a run. But the dear leader's party rigged the election, the Democrat primaries, to ensure that Hillary would get through. Because at the time, maybe not today, but Bernie Sanders, he was, you know, he's too far to the left, too much of a socialist. Obama was smart enough to know that we've got to make these changes incrementally. We can't just do it all at once or we won't win an election. So here's the Antiochus operating by flatteries, operating through deceit and anointing. Forget about what the voters have to say. The voters were swinging toward Bernie. He anointed Hillary. And by the looks of it, she was well on her way to victory. And then everything came crashing down for the dear leader in 2016 as Donald Trump shocked the world. That's right. Donald Trump crushed the opponent that Barack Obama anointed. Then you move to 2020. Hillary had already lost. You're looking at this field of, what was it, 8 or 9 Democrats. And a little ways into the primary, Barack Obama decided Joe Biden's the one. So he got on the horn, he got on the phone, and he started telling all these candidates, Klobuchar and the others, you got to drop out. We've decided on Biden. Again, forget about the voters. We don't care about what vote. These are the people that are supposedly saving democracy. Okay. The dear leader pushes through Biden. He's the perfect puppet. And of course, Donald Trump crushed him as well. Were it not for the fact that they used the COVID pandemic to mail out 100 million mail-in votes, all the drop boxes. We now know, as I covered earlier this week, the CIA was working to rig the election as well. All the Democrat censors were in place. They covered up the Hunter Biden laptop. You had the mules. You had the dead people voting. You had all the drop boxes, the ballot harvesting, the machine glitches, turning the election into election week. But you leave all aside the cheating. Here's Jeroboam totally crushing another leader that the dear leader anointed. And then now you come to this election cycle. Here again, the Democrats had a primary. They could have gotten behind RFK if they were honest. I mean, if they really were concerned about the fate of the nation, they could have thought, you know what, Biden, he's had his run, but he's too old. Maybe we don't need to broadcast it too loudly. But look at, he's stumbling. He's this, he's that. But no, they crushed RFK. RFK moved on to be an independent. The dear leader wanted Biden in. And so here we come all the way to June 27th, 2024, just 4 months out of the presidential election. And now they find themselves in a real bind. As Donald Trump is poised and ready to crush yet another, in many ways, undemocratically elected presidential candidate. Now, think about what could happen. Suppose the Daily Mail is right from its assessment two or three weeks ago that there's the reason for the early debate was so that the dear leader and his regime could kind of observe and see if they need to throw him under the bus and get someone else installed. And, well, last night they obviously threw him under the bus. As to whether or not they can install someone else, I mean, time is running out. We'll see. But if supposing they did install someone else at the Democrat convention, here again, the voters have no say. It's the dear leader, the ruling elites that say, this is the one we've anointed. This is the one we've chosen. Who are the real autocrats here? America's under attack. This is a communist invasion. This is an attack from within. As I said last night, what an endorsement of the truth contained in the book, my father's book, America Under Attack. If you don't have a copy of it, by the way, there's the 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. All of these Democrats saying, boy, this really hurts us politically. Not one of them cares about the next 7 months. Not one of them cares about how this hurts us abroad. You know, Trump even focused on that to some degree last night. He said, look, Putin would have he wouldn't have invaded Ukraine if it wasn't for the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal. That was the worst foreign policy decision in history. And the whole world observed it, just like the whole world observed the debate last night. This is some bitter affliction. This is immeasurable miseries. This is 2 Kings 14. She quotes Trump, this Liz Harrington piece. She quotes Trump saying, our country's being destroyed, President Trump said. As you and I sit up here and waste a lot of time at this debate, there shouldn't be a debate. That was Trump. He was saying, look, we're wasting time with this. There shouldn't even be a debate. Our country's being destroyed. Even when they got into it with the silly, you know, argument over golf, at one point here again, Trump, like the elder statesman, said, look, let's not behave like children. The country's going up in flames. President Trump is right. Our country's being destroyed while the puppet masters, plural, replace another puppet. So that's what Barack Obama is hard at work doing at the moment. How can we pressure him out? How can we, and if it's not Kamala, how can we pressure him out and install someone else? Gavin Newsom, even Hillary's in the conversation. And then, of course, there's Michelle Obama. Listen to Maria Bartiromo from earlier today, clip 11.
By the way, I would argue that President Obama is among the leaders saying, get him out. I think him putting his hand on his back the other day, walking him off stage, spoke volumes. I'm walking him off stage, stage left Joe Biden. I that's my opinion. I think President Obama is trying to get him to understand he cannot win this.
She's right. Obama is the kingmaker. But at the same time, we can't rule out the fact that this may be, maybe we shouldn't give Barack Obama too much credit, that he's orchestrated all of this, the early debate, make sure it's before the convention, we can install someone else. Is he just assuming that Biden's going to step aside? This Axios story, by the way, about Michelle Obama, this just came out a couple days ago. Says Michelle Obama privately has expressed frustration over how the Biden family largely exiled her close friend Kathleen Ruhl and Ruhl's messy divorce after Ruhl's messy divorce from Hunter Biden. It says why it matters. The family tensions and the former First Lady's disdain for partisan politics are partly why one of the Democrats' most popular voices hasn't campaigned for President Biden's reelection. Now, this has not gone unnoticed over in the Biden camp. We know the Biden camp is full of a bunch of Obama acolytes, but at the same time, there's no love lost between the Bidens and the Obamas. You've got Barack Obama out there fundraising with Joe Biden 12 days ago, and Michelle's nowhere to be seen. And then this leaks through Axios of all sources. Yeah, I don't like the Bidens. Well, what if Jill Biden decides, you know what, I don't like the Obamas? Now, what the Daily Mail guy suggested is that it's Obama and the Clintons, but then also Pelosi and Schumer factor into this. If all of them together go on and say, look, Biden, you've got to step aside, according to that Daily Mail author, Biden may say, well, if I've lost the House and the Senate as well, I can't really function. I can't really do anything. But if it's just Obama, I mean, again, if there's division within the Democrat Party, we can't rule out the fact that it might be too late for them to replace him. Maybe they replace him in a week. Who knows? We'll be here to report on it. It's going to be interesting to just watch how the White House handles this. You've seen how the regime media has responded. They're all in agreement now. He's mentally unfit. Throw him under the bus. Let's get someone new before it's too late. But you look at the Bidens last night. This was Joe Biden when he was asked about the performance. Clip 12.
Mr. President, how did you perform tonight?
I think we did well.
Said Joe Biden. He actually, Trump left and he moved on, and you know, he's sending out his emails through his campaign people today about the blowout victory. But you know, he moved on. He didn't have an after party. Amazing. He's already out late. You know, 10:30 Eastern time is when the debate ends. Then he goes to an after party. He says that he does well. Listen to the way his wife introduces him to the after party gathering. This is in Atlanta. Clip 13.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts. And let me ask the crowd, what did Trump do? Lie!
Reminded me of the Howard Dean scream from years ago. But before that, Joe, you did such a good job. You answered every question. I mean, she's talking about him or to him as if he's a second grader. It's really, this is elder abuse on display. She's the one that just guided him off. You can play this alongside me. She guided him off of the stage last night, the CNN stage. It's another Barack Obama leading him by the hand moment as he very carefully steps down those three stairs. Again, I'm not saying he doesn't need help and guidance. I'm saying he does need help and guidance. That's what they're trying to cover up. They all know. Dr. Jill leading him by the hand, saying that he did a great job because he answered all the questions, pretending that he won, pretending that he performed spectacularly. She knows. As to scenarios, how they can throw him under the bus and replace him with someone else. Again, this is Jonathan Carl. He's, again, another left winger, talking about how that may not be as easy to do as some would suggest. Clip 15.
Because it is very difficult to imagine a scenario where Biden can be replaced as the nominee. You would have to somehow open up the convention. Biden would have to, be the one leading it and saying, I'm going to release my delegates. There's absolutely no indication that he is willing to do this. And nobody, no Democrat is going to want to further damage Biden beyond what we saw tonight by being the first to come out and say that publicly, unless it's determined that there is truly a viable path to find another nominee.
Now, again, I don't know enough about the process, releasing your delegates, how it works at the convention. Obviously, he could resign today and Kamala's in there. But I'm not sure how he could resign and then it's maybe Gavin Newsom and then Kamala still in the VP slot. Who knows? Who knows how that this plays out? But there's Jonathan Carl basically saying, you know, this is not as easy as some are making it out to be. This was the Biden campaign co-chair, Mitch Landrieu, earlier today, talking about Biden's reaction to the debate and what happens going forward. Clip 16.
There's always a truth-telling session when these things happen. Joe Biden is not averse to hearing things that are bad. He has to make the decision about whether he's going to be a candidate or not. He has done that, and he's going to be the nominee. So, again, he started off slow last night. I thought he had some really good points during the debate.
We've talked. That's him saying he didn't have the greatest start, but hey, we go forward. They aren't, at least not yet, they're not suggesting he's going to step aside. We've talked throughout this year about the war in 24, Trump against this radical Marxist left. Maybe a subplot to that story is the war in the Democrat Party, the war between the Bidens and the Obamas. There's a lot riding on these next few weeks. We've talked about the critical time period, too, just leading up to July 11, Trump's sentencing. The Supreme Court really helped him out with respect to Jack Smith's case. And we'll have to just reserve that for Monday's program. There's a lot of leftovers that we have here that we can't quite get to today. I want to leave time for our weekly installment of World Watch. There actually is other news going on in the world today. We'll conclude with that. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Russian President Vladimir Putin arrived in North Korea on June 19th for a two-day visit, his first in 24 years, as he seeks more support for his war in Ukraine. During the visit, the two signed a new agreement to assist each other in the event of aggression against either country. Putin said that within the agreement, Russia does not exclude the development of military technical cooperation with the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un said the deal was the strongest ever treaty made between the two nations. The Bible prophesies that Asian nations will unite under Russian leadership, forming an alliance called the Kings of the East. These Asian nations will form the largest army this world has ever seen and will play a defining role in world events. To learn more, read our free booklet, Russia and China in Prophecy. Hassan Nasrallah, head of Lebanon's Hezbollah terrorist group, threatened war against Cyprus on June 19th if the nation allows Israel to use its territory in any conflict. Cyprus and Israel have strengthened defense ties in recent years and have signed multiple arms export agreements. The two have also conducted joint military drills. However, Cyprus is a member of the European Union. Threatening it means threatening the 26 other member states, especially Germany, which sent special forces to this crucial island in October last year and practically controls it. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has warned Hezbollah not to intervene in the conflict in Gaza. After months of ignoring that warning, Hezbollah is about to face an Israeli offensive. Now that Hezbollah has threatened Cyprus as well, expect Germany to become more involved. To learn more about the complicated relationships between Cyprus, Israel, and Germany, read As You Watch Gaza, Watch Germany. The Chinese Communist Party is staging talent competitions with generous cash prizes to recruit elite hackers for cyber attacks against the United States, a mid-June report published by ETH Zurich's Center for Security Studies said. The report states that the Chinese Communist Party has built an elaborate, multifaceted hack-for-hire ecosystem. The project is highly organized, relying on several leading Chinese universities and incorporating a spectrum of cyber activities. Prizes range from the equivalent of a few thousand US dollars to tens of thousands. It encourages many of China's young technophiles to devote their time and energy to destroying America. Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Fleury has warned on several occasions of the dangers of America's reliance on computer systems that are vulnerable to cyber attack, especially in the US military. To learn more about the critical danger this over-reliance on technology poses, read China Hacks America and None Goes to Battle. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.